This is Victory House.
This morning I want to talk about what I call raise the white flag. Can somebody say amen? Okay, let's start our journey like we started last week from Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. This is Jesus speaking here. The Bible says, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." Okay, let's also open to John chapter 1 and verse 12. John chapter 1 and verse 12. John 1 and 12. And then we'll open to Psalm 78 and verse 41. All of this month of January, we are talking about now open. Now open. If anybody is here that can receive it, I command your destiny to open up. Yeah. Some of us, it's as if our destiny has been closed for business. You know, there's something that has closed us in. I command your destiny to be opened up. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. I read something from somebody yesterday. He said, if the things and people in your life don't give you expression, you don't have a circle, you have a cage. I command you that anything that looks like cage around you, that cage is broken. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And I like to open that up, say, he gave the right to be their own God self. He gave them right to find expression. And then Psalm 78 and verse 41. Psalm 78, verse 41. The Bible says, again and again, they put God to the test, the vexed the Holy One of Israel. Or they put bricks on God. Will you say this loud and clear? Say, in the name of Jesus, I will not put limits on God this year. In Jesus' name. In our world, there are several ways people live their life. And I like to announce to you that this is it. This is all of the life. There are no life rehearsals. There are no like, okay, when I finish this life, you know, sometimes when we play video game, people have 9 lives, they have 10 lives. So when you lose one life, and some of these games that is on your phone now, they'll tell you that if you want to be rescued, then you should just unlock something, then you should pay 99 cents. But in real life, you can't pay 99 cents when it is time to go. When it is up, it is up. When this life is finished, it is finished. When this life is over, it is over. There is only one life. The Bible, the writer to the Hebrews says, it is appointed unto man to die once. So we don't have multiple deaths. All the other religion or way of thinking or philosophical explanation that says something like, we have a chance at repairing things, they are not telling you the truth. The truth of the matter is, this is the life. This is the life. So how people live, how you and I live, is of utmost importance. There are several ways people live, and I just want to share that with you this morning before I wrap things up. Number one, you find people living the way they want. People live the way they want. Is it not my life? I can do anything I want to do with it. I can live the way I want to live. I can decide to sleep when I want to sleep. I can do anything with my life. That is how what we saw in the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. The Bible said the boy just came up one day and said to himself that, look, is it not my life? I can do anything with it. And that's the perception of many people. It's my life. I don't want to go to any church where somebody will be telling me how to live. I don't want to any boss or any spouse or anybody. It is my own life. Is it your life? Am I living my life for you? Just leave me alone. And there is that kind of sentiment, especially in this generation. You know, I'm on my own. It's my life. Just leave me alone. Live your life and live my own life alone. So some people are living just the way they want to live. Another way some people are living is they are living the way they have been living. They are living the way they have been living. We are in a new year now. And many people they have New Year resolution. They have things that they have written. Some people have even given up on New Year resolution completely because they feel like it's not worth it. I will write the New Year resolution this year, and then everything will be same old, same old. And so some people, they are living the way they've been living. Some people will think about a newness, but at the end of the day, they come back to living the same way they've been living. And I want to tell you that if the way you have been living is not the way God wants you to live, you need to consider to change. Can somebody say amen to that? So you don't have to live just anyhow you want. You don't have to live the way you have been living if it is not consistent with God. Because you see, life is a summation. Life is like what we call life is what you are doing daily. It's what is happening to you all the time. We are a sum of our habits. We are a sum of every decision we make every day. So the way you are living your life today is going to add up. It's going to become exactly what your life will look like 10 years from now. So you have to consider, how have I been living? Have I been living healthy, for example? There are so many children of God, because they know that God is the healer, they do anything. Because they know that God is the healer, they eat anything. They say that exercise thing is for people that are fat, you know? And by fat, they have a definition of fat by themselves. Because if you meet some medical people, they will tell you fat in the sense of being overweight is relative. It's relative to your height and some other stuff like that. So it's not that because you look at yourself and you're like, oh, I can wear this pant. This pant is a 10. I used to wear this pant 10 years ago and I can still wear it. That means I'm not fat. It does not mean so. Oh, that means I'm healthy. Oh, I don't really fall sick. That means I'm healthy. So you need to consider how you are living physically. You need to consider how you are living even spiritually. You do not have to live the way you have been living. So some people are living the way they have been living. They are just on a roller coaster. They are not evaluating their life and they are not looking for opportunities to change. But I believe for somebody listening to me this morning, that if there is anything inconsistent with the word of God in your life, there will be an alignment in the name of Jesus. So some people live the way they want. Some people live the way they've been living. Some other people live the way others live. They are copycats. Some other people live the way others live. You see, the race of life is a very funny race. We may look alike. We may have the same start. We may have the same beginning. But we are usually, most of the time, not on the same track. I am running a different track. You are running a different track. I know that back in the day, I don't know if they still do this in many schools, that they will give exams and the exams will not be the same thing. So you can have a class and there is an exam going on and everybody is not answering the same questions, or the questions have been shuffled. So if you have 1 to 30, my 1 is not the same as your 1. Or even though you have in your question a question that looks like number 1, but they have shuffled it so much that if you give me your number 1 and I write the answer for your number 1 in my own number 1, I have missed the answer. But that's how life is, sir. Life is that the question I am answering, the question you are answering, it may look like my own question, but your answer should be different. My answer should be different. Because most of the time, there is no right or wrong answer. The answer is really specific and particular to you. So if you live your life just because you see Mr. A living their life, the way they are living their life, and you pattern it like that, you may be doing something that is completely wrong. You may be completely missing the mark, because God is expecting you to pattern your life after the pattern he has for you. I say you'll find that pattern. Amen. And you will align in the name of Jesus. Amen. So living your life to conform to others, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that you should not look up to people, you should not have examples, you should not have things to emulate. I understand when we emulate characteristics and things in other people, but make sure that you don't make it the end goal. This is my end goal, because God is able to do something better. Because some of the people that you are even looking at too, they want to change. There are sometimes you are looking at somebody and you are calling them your role model. That your role model too, that thing that you are looking at in them, or those things that you are looking at, they are believing God that God will change them. So if you look at them and you don't look at them in context of what God wants you to be and what God wants to be done, you may accidentally fall into the same error.
that they fall into. But I believe God for you. Your case will not be like that. In the name of Jesus. So some people live the way they want to live. Some people live the way they've been living. Some people live the way others live. Some people live the way others tell them to live. There's difference between that. So the people that are living the way others are living, some of them are not consulting with those people. But there are some people that live the way others tell them to, by what they suggest, by what they say. So they are living to conform to opinions. They are living to conform to patterns. They are living to conform to comments. If there is a comment like this on Facebook, if there is a comment like this on Instagram, then they want to readjust. Then they want to pattern themselves. They want to get into the fix of that other people's opinion. I said it last week. There's nothing wrong about people telling you things, about you getting feedback, but there is everything wrong if you base your life only on feedbacks. If you base your life only on opinions of others, if you base your life on what other people tell you. And sometimes other people will put the limits. They will be the one that did what the Bible was saying in Psalm 78, verse 41, that they put brakes on God. Some other people will tell you, you can't do this thing. I don't know if I've heard that before. I remember I used to have a friend some time ago. She told it to me. She said, I know you. You can't do that. That's wrong. Wait, are you God? How can you tell me you know me and this is impossible for me? No, you cannot say that. I smile. I said, even me, I am still discovering myself. You can't tell me that this is my limit because you have had one or two interactions with me. I celebrate parents. I am a parent. And our job as parents is to discover the gifts in our children. But even as parents, we don't have the final say. We are not God. God has not now said, oh, because you gave birth to that child, now you are not the God over that child. No, sir. You are just a caretaker. And God still reserves the right. So I don't care what a parent told you. I don't care what the teacher told you. They might have told you that you cannot do so and so. They might have told you that people that look like you cannot do that. In fact, most of the people that have succeeded in this world, people told them they can't. They told them they couldn't. They told them it was not possible. They told them that how will you do that? The guys that did the airplane, they told them that it's not possible. How can a big object leave the earth? How can it be flying? How can it this? How can it that? All kinds of it is not possible. But thank God that there are some people that will choose to disobey the opinions of others. I pray for you this year. Every opinion of others that is not of God, that has been limiting you, you break away from them. In the name of Jesus. Don't let other people tell you what is not possible. Even if they are experts. There have been so many experts. In scripture, you will see experts. The expert will say, that's not possible. How can God do that? How can God do that? Even if the expert is a doctor, I celebrate doctors. But sometimes a doctor will say, oh, you cannot have a baby. I was hearing a testimony recently. I don't know where I heard it, from one church. They had removed the womb. There was no womb there. There was no womb. So when they were going to even have the baby, they had to check that. How did the baby, how can baby be in a tummy now? Because there's no womb to talk. And the baby survived, I don't know how many months before they opened that up, I think, because they actually, and they said it was like a film, something small just covered the baby. Because there's still a God in heaven. I pray for you. What men said is impossible. This year, it will be possible for you. Because so some people, they just assume the role of God. Whether because they know it or not, but they tell you things. I know America. I know Chicago. I know immigrations. I know the law. Please, can I tell you this? The only person that can say yes and nobody can say no is God. Can somebody say amen to that? Is the only one that can open door and nobody can shut. So let nobody, let no government, let no education, let no connection, let no boss, let no parent tell you what is possible and what is not possible. Because the word of God is your only guide. And what God says is possible in your life in Jesus' name. Amen. So people live the way they want to live. Some people live the way they've been living. Some people live the way other people tell them to live. Let me share one more before I start tying it up. Some other people live the way of the majority. It's similar to living the way of others, but they take a poll. How do people live around here? How do people do things here? How is it done in America? Some people believe that, for example, let's take parenting, for example. Some people have come to the opinion that in America, children are a little more I want to choose my words because it may be a prophecy. Children are a little bit out of hand. Yeah, let's use that word. Yeah, because the environment, you know, it's not like, especially if there are people that have some level of African origin or they are just immigrants from outside of this country. There's that unspoken or unwritten idea or belief that it is different here. That because some people tell you that, oh, because if you do anything to them, then when they go to school, they are going to go talk about it. They are going to now come one day, then they will take your child from you, and then you will not have a child, all kind of story, and all of that kind of thing. Yes, the structure here is different in that, there's accountability. But can I tell you the truth? That you can still raise children in this country and they can still do well. Can somebody say amen to that? Amen. They can still follow God from start to finish. Can somebody say amen to that? Amen. And you have to believe it. You have to believe it from before you even have the children. From before the children, when the children are young, not when they are old. Because some people, I've heard something like this before. Some people say, well, you can't be talking like that. You've not even done it before. I'm not speaking from experience. I am speaking from scriptures. Because scriptures is greater than experience. And my experience must catch up with scripture. So I believe the word of God, so it will happen to me like that. So there are people that will take the opinion of majority. For example, for me, I have not taken that opinion. I have not taken the opinion of majority. I have taken the opinion of scripture from even before I had kids, that my children will serve the Lord. Can somebody say amen to that? I have been declaring it even before I had children. So it is not left to them. It is not left to this community. It is not left to this environment. It is left to me. It is left to God. And by God, they will serve the Lord. So some people want to live the way majority are living. And can I tell you this? I think some time ago, quite a bit ago, in Victory, I preached on popular vote or something like that. There is a saying that says, Vox populi, vox Deu, or I think it's a Latin word, that says the voice of the people is the voice of God. Error. It's not true. The voice of the people is not always the voice of God. In Exodus chapter 23 and 20, verse 2, Exodus chapter 23 and verse 2, the Bible says, don't follow the multitude to do evil. In fact, if there is anything you can understand from the trend of life, many times, majority, they are not right. Majority, they are not right. God is like God of the minority. You remember in the story of Joshua and Caleb, or the story of the spy, the majority were wrong. 10 people said, no, it's not possible. Only 2 people said it is possible. Just like majority of all the people that might have diagnosed you, majority of all the information that you might have gotten concerning your health, concerning your education, concerning immigration, majority of the report can tell you in a particular way. But a minority report that can be a report just from the word of God, a minority report that you can just have read from the word of God, that report may just tell you that it is possible. And if you can hold on to minority report, you can become the majority. Can somebody say amen? Amen. So don't live the way of the majority. The best way to live, ladies and gentlemen, is to live the way of the Spirit. Can somebody say amen? Amen. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 2, the Bible says, Galatians chapter 5 and 2, it says, mark my word. Can you give me the King James Version? Of Galatians 5:25, excuse me, it's not verse 2, 5:25. It says, if we live in the Spirit, he says, let us also walk in the Spirit. Or this. If this our experience with God is for real, let that experience filter into every area of our life. So that experience will open up everything. So that experience will allow everything that concerns us to, to be in their full state, so that that experience we have with him will enter into every area of our life and marinate every area of our life. So if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If this thing that we are calling, if this our experience on Sunday is for real, let it affect Monday. If this our experience on Sunday is for real, let it affect every part of our year. And I pray for you that the God that you come to meet on Sunday, that God will make you a sure for Monday. In the name of Jesus.
Now, so if we want to make this connection so that our lives, the way we live, our life will reflect God, our life will reflect the Spirit of God, there is something I believe we can add to what I said last week. And we'll read it in James chapter 4. James chapter 4. And note that all these things will enable your life to be open. It will enable your life to find expression in a new way. James chapter 4, and reading from verse 7. The Bible says, submit yourself therefore to God. In another translation, maybe my own translation, raise your white flag to God. When people are fighting in war, when there is a war, and there's different fights and all of that, different side fighting, when you raise up a white flag, it means that you have declared that I give up. It means that you have declared that I surrender. So the Bible is saying here, submit yourself, raise a white flag over your life unto God. The Bible now said what will happen from then is that you can resist the devil and he will flee. You see, the reason why many lives look closed, the reason why many lives look as if they resist the devil and the devil is not fleeing, or it's like they resist the devil and the devil resists them back, you know, it is because there is no submission to God. He says, submit yourself therefore unto God and resist the devil. He will flee from you. What does it mean to submit? You see, the word there, submit, is from a Greek word that is a compound word. It is upoteso or upotasso. And it simply means to be under or to arrange under. Because the upo there means under, and then the tasso means to arrange. So when you say submit, you are saying to arrange under, to bring intentionally under. This word is a root word that will translate the word subject or subjection. That's where we get the word subject. That's where we get the word subjection. It is the word that the military, when you find military arranged into what you call battalions, when you find military arranged into what you call divisions, that word, that arrangement, that whole arrangement, that concept of arrangement, it is what we call this summit. It is the raising of the white flag. So if you arrange your life, you put your life under God. And that's why that scripture is very pertinent for us this year. Psalm 91, the Bible says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Almighty shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So if you arrange your life, if you put your life under the influence, if you put your job under the influence, if you put your marriage under the influence, if you put parenting under the influence, if you bring everything under the influence of God, Bible says you are able to resist the devil and he will flee from you. This year the devil will flee from you. I thought somebody's amen would be louder than that. So what are we saying this morning? We are saying this morning that every area of life, God should be a go area for God. There should be no area for God. Money should not be an area where you say, God, you be on your own, let me be on my own. There is every area of our life, including our plans. When we are having our plans, many of the times people are planning things and they are saying, God, come and bless my plan. Many of the times they never start from the side of God. What do you really want to do? And in this season, I am saying that if you want your life to be open and not closed, that is how you need to arrange yourself. You need to arrange yourself in such a way where you go to God first and say, Holy Spirit of God, how do you want me to go about this? Even projects that you know how to do at work, you go in the morning and say, how do you want me to go about this morning? How do you want me to present this? Help me here. I depend on you. I need your help. You see, this whole prayer and fasting thing, what we are doing, if you are joining us with this, is that we are arranging ourselves under God.
We are saying, God, we are putting this year intentionally under your influence. We want you to take over this year. We are not assuming that we have done a year like this before, and then we'll just do the year. So we are arranging it under your influence. So we are living our life the way of the Spirit. We are living our life letting the Spirit be the driver. We as passengers, letting the Spirit be the president, we as the resident, letting the Spirit be the landlord, we as the tenant, not the other way around. And I pray for you this morning that in the name of Jesus, this year, you will experience God on a new level. In that same scripture, James chapter 4, verse 7, verse 10 now says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Or submit yourself to God, or raise the white flag, and God will make your life to be open. God will make your life to experience whatever you want it to experience. My prayer for you this day is that this year 2018, God will lift you up. Every area of life, God will lift you up.